The Wellness Collective with Cecilia and Nat.
Cecilia, how are you?
I'm well. Nat, how are you?
Are you really well?
Well, I'm putting on a brave face. Let's put it that way. But it is winter and we all have our coughs and colds to deal with.
I know. Well, because you've been unwell, yes. I kind of took the liberty of saying, you know what, stay at home, rest. Because that's what we should be doing, right?
Yes.
How many times do we try and push through and it's not really a good idea?
It doesn't work out, especially when you need your voice.
Well,
there's that.
So I have been doing a little bit of work whilst I've sort of left you to recover.
Thank you. I was in my Nana blanket, sitting under my Nana blanket, just resting on Friday when you took it upon yourself to interview the wonderful person we have to share with our podcast listeners today.
Exactly. Well, her name is Denise Furness, and she is, well, someone that I came across several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a funny story, actually.
Yeah.
When we were filming Debunking Your Thyroid, which is one of my e-courses, she was an attender and she was in the audience. And she put her hand up and made a really relevant statement about thyroid health.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, this is really good. And so because we were filming and we were, you know, had the ability to sort of do a little bit of editing, we wanted her to make that statement again. We wanted to get her on camera. And she was like, no, I don't want to do that. We're like, we really like this statement. It's really relevant. So we had to film the back of her head.
One more question.
I'd probably just prefer this for the room, and it's actually directed to the lady out the front rather than online, if that's okay. But I mentioned it to Nat earlier that I have Graves, so the other way around, so hyperthyroid, and I was told by I've seen numerous doctors, top endocrinologists, that, you know, I've got this forever and that I must have my thyroid out. And even to Nat, you know, recently even walked out of the doctor's office crying because my blood levels have been fine, I feel fine, but I've been off medication for nearly 2 years. The only reason I'm reinvestigating is because I want to have another baby. But I'm lucky I work with integrative GPs and I've got a great support network that gave me the confidence. But I was told clearly, black and white, you will have this forever. You'll either be on medication forever, as in thyroxine, or your thyroid has to come out. And I know other people too that have gone, as in low thyroid, have recovered completely. So do the right things and,
So you see why we wanted it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly what you were looking for. But that was the question that she was asking from her personal experience, I guess.
Yeah. To me, as the obviously facilitator of that event, which was kind of strange because, well, you know, we're going to learn more about her. But what came from that experience was that she started coming to see me as a patient.
Yeah.
And her story was awesome. And so that was part of the reason why I got her in for, you know, us to do an interview with, because, you know, she went on this whole journey of thyroid troubles and, you know, it had an impact on her pregnancy. And there was a period in time where it looked quite dire, really, what was going on. And so, you know, her story, I think, was particularly powerful for our listeners.
But from a professional point of view, she is pretty interesting as well, isn't she?
Wow. Yes.
So I'm a scientist, though I don't work in a lab anymore. I now work in a medical practice doing integrative and functional medicine. So I've used my background in science to really help mainly people with fertility issues, but really anyone with chronic health conditions. So my background is in genetics. I've got a PhD in something called nutritional genomics, which is basically like nutritional biochemistry. So looking at how genes interact with our environment and our foods and things like that.
Okay, nutritional genomics. That's a title that I am not familiar with. The first time I heard it, I had to go back and listen to it about 3 times before I could get my head around it. Can you explain to me, Nat, what does that all mean?
So my understanding of this, and I draw on it as much as I can, but I'm not a scientist, obviously, is that the way our bodies all work are all different, and we've all got different genes and they all interact in different ways. And it's how we feed those genes that influences the way that they work. So, for example, if your body can't or isn't being fed the right amount of, say, I don't know, selenium, magnesium, then the genes will start to behave in a different way than if they were getting those nutrients, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes really interesting when you look at it from not only a diagnostic but a treatment perspective, because somebody who might have quite a serious health condition, you can start to influence the way that their genes are working based on the nutrition that you're feeding that body.
It's quite amazing. It's actually a little bit science fiction, isn't it, when you think about it?
I guess
that you can
so.
Get to the basic building blocks of each individual person and tailor what they need to work at their best.
Exactly, and it's moving away from that old medical model that we are all one and the same, because
yeah.
we are not.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. So it's basically tailor-made medicine
mm-hmm.
to the individual for what they need in that period of time.
And so with what you do you get some test results and then you can see where the deficiencies are and you can treat that way?
Yeah, I do that. And that's quite a naturopathic way of thinking, and I'm not a naturopath, but what I like to do is take it one step back and look at why someone's nutrient deficient, not just, oh, hey, you're nutrient deficient, let's just give you some magnesium, because it's not treating the problem.
No.
It's only treating the symptom. So if you can tie in this idea of nutrigenomics and looking at where the body's not utilising things properly or doesn't have the availability of things, and also then tie that back into, you know, encouraging the body to work better and looking at it from a root cause, marry those two things together and you're on a good thing.
But I thought that genes were what you were born with. So you get some from your dad, some from your mum, and that just makes you up and off you go. No?
Well, yes, but no. I asked Denise that very question.
That's really the whole basis behind what we do. So once upon a time we sort of thought, okay, you've got the genes, that's it. My mum got this, my dad had this. But it's actually not like that. Our genes are influenced by our environment. So the toxins, your nutrition. So having, you know, a poor diet for someone who has genes that perhaps you don't metabolise B vitamins very well, or you don't activate vitamin D, if you're not seeing the sun and not getting a lot of Bs, that's when you're likely to have these adverse health outcomes.
So that can make people uncomfortable, really, can't it? Because for a really long time, it's been okay to accept the fact that you might be sick based on, when I say sick, you might have, you know,
yep.
some type of genetic problem based on your mother or father and what they've passed on to you. Mm. We've accepted that that's the way it goes. You know, my mum had endometriosis, I have endometriosis. Or my mum had trouble having kids, so
yep.
I'm going to have trouble having kids.
Yep.
But that's not really
you
what
can't
she's
rely
saying
on that anymore.
Is that that's not actually true as we know it anymore. Things have changed. Well, not that they've changed, but this information changes everything.
Our understanding yeah. has changed. The thing I love about genes, though, on a really basic level, is being able to see the influence of mums and dads on their kids. Like even as grown-ups, you know, my aunties and my mum are all growing to this, like they look the same as they're getting older, and they never did when they were younger. And like when you meet a couple and their kid and you're like, oh my goodness, you've got dad's ears and you've got mum's nose and you've got, you know, grandma's woolly hair. You know, I love all that stuff. But I guess I wonder if this science, you know, looking at genes and the way you can kind of see what's really making them work, can you switch certain things on and off perhaps? Are we going to get to that stage?
Like, can I change the fact that my son's got my mother-in-law's toes? Is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly. Can you do that? That'd be great. Hey, when you spoke to Denise, though, she actually made you, well, come to terms with some of your genes, didn't she?
Mm. So, because, I mean, we've got, my understanding is that, you know, we've got genes that can be influenced and turned on and off, and then, you know, I can't change the fact that I'm a redhead. So what's the difference?
Well, that you're blonde.
Well, that's because I've got a good hairdresser.
I would never have known.
But you know what I mean? So yeah. helping people understand, because that's where a lot of people get confused, and I know... You know, my mother-in-law's hilarious. Our listeners would understand I've got a son with a genetic condition. But in her mind, she's like, oh, look, it's a miracle he's cured. And I'm like, well, let her believe that, because that helps with the way she manages him. But
yes.
reality is Geordie still has cystic fibrosis and he's always going to have that. But
yes.
the way that we make his body work. So how do you explain that to people?
So you're completely right in that the individual still has the gene or the genes, but what you want to do is you want to try to optimise their lifestyle specifically for their genes. So if someone does have some genes that we know are linked with fertility issues and we know that some of those might be around, say, folate. Well, then we talk to them about, well, what are folate-rich foods? Let's talk about natural forms of folate. Why perhaps maybe some supplements may not be good for you, like a folic acid, because it's synthetic, the body has to work a bit harder. I'm not saying folic acid's bad for everyone, but we can sort of talk to individuals about their genes and what's best for them.
It's extraordinary. And I think at this stage that it'd be really good to know what you know about dealing with this on a day-to-day basis, because you've got Geordie and you feed him accordingly to make his life as good as it can be, which was one of the first things that you told me when we met. And I was like, that is amazing. I need to know more about that.
I love Denise more so for me. She not validates, but she does secure in a little bit of what I believe and think.
Mm-hmm.
And some of what I do for Geordie is on a whim, and some of what we do is is based on what we know.
Yep.
But, you know, very early on I realised with Geordie that we could feed his body to support health, or we could feed his body to feed illness,
yep,
which is a no-brainer for most people, I think.
But I think a lot of people can't see it that way. I think if they've not looked at alternative therapies or have been sick themselves, then they might just go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, you need to take these drugs, and they go away and they do it. They don't question it.
Of course. But I think also some people in their you know, intuition or their gut or whatever you want to call it, they still go, I don't really want to do that, but that's what I've been told I have to do, so I have to do it. So this really comes back to what we were talking about before for me, is that what we have, you know, this whole one-size-fits-all model doesn't work. So therefore, why would I utilise the one-size-fits-all protocol for my son when his genes are then different from another child with CF?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's quite interesting. In my experience, I've learnt that kids with CF do lack certain nutrients. And then that's also compounded by things like Geordie was a cesarean delivery.
Yeah.
So he didn't get that dose of probiotics coming out of the birth canal, yep, which we're learning is so vital.
Which maybe, what, 4 or 5 years ago wasn't as well known?
No, it wasn't at all. And so, you know, there's a few things that I can see that maybe, of course, his health is shaped by all of these things, which is going to be different from the next child with cystic fibrosis.
Mm-hmm.
And what also is wild is that there's various genetic types of CF.
Oh, really?
So there's not just one type of CF. There's a heap of different genetic types of CF, and the genetic type you have tends to dictate your symptoms.
Okay.
Now, having said that, Geordie has the most common type of CF, which is not the worst type, but it does come with the most amount of symptoms. So some kids with CF, it is a lung and pancreas problem. Both,
yep,
don't work. That's Geordie's case.
Yep.
Or both do not work technically. But other genetic strains of CF, they only have one of those challenges.
Okay.
So the cells work differently. Anyway, we're not really here to talk about that.
But it's interesting. I really find this an interesting topic. Please keep going.
So, you know, I worked out early on, okay, let's just think about it from a basic sense. So basic nutrition, 100%. But then let's look at his environment. What is his environment like? You know, what can we do to make the air cleaner? What can we do to help him move toxins out of his body? Because at the end of the day, for someone with cystic fibrosis, the biggest challenge is keeping their mucus thin so that their body moves out bacteria and toxins. When that's not happening, that's when buildup occurs and it can become damaging. So what can I do to influence that? So we started doing things like, you know, burning essential oils in the house, which to you and me is lovely aroma,
yep,
but we're not using it unless we've got a cold. Maybe we might burn eucalyptus,
yep,
that makes sense.
Yeah, well, our house has been smelling like that lately,
yeah,
yes.
But for someone with CF, we want to clean the air, so we use things like lemongrass, the antibacterial types of oils that help to purify the air. You know, from a nutritional perspective, Geordie was breastfed when he was really little, and that was really important. And I was taking heaps of supplements that he could get through my milk. So lots of anti-inflammatory type things like turmeric and curcumin and those sorts of things that we know, mm-hmm, help to keep the mucus thin, because it's basically fighting off anything that's coming along, and helping his immune system to fight off those inflammatory things. So, you know, they're the sorts of things that we continue to carry on. And then I look at it in the broader sense of going, okay, well, how can I maximise his digestion so he can absorb the maximum amount of nutrients?
Yep.
So this is when things like probiotics and bone broth and those sorts of things that really support his digestive health come into it. So
stop. What's bone broth?
Really?
Yes.
So bone broth is, you might have heard of everyone, or lots of listeners may have heard of everyone's on this bone broth bandwagon, where you basically are making broth out of bones.
Yes.
Now, not only does that taste pretty delicious, but the reason we're doing it is because it's rich in gelatin, which contains collagen, which helps with the gut permeability. So basically makes your gut wall nice and strong.
Right.
And if you can have a strong gut wall and the presence of that good bacteria can be contained inside the gut, then that's putting your best foot forward with gut health. Whereas we see troubles when that gut wall becomes lazy or relaxed or has little holes in it, you can understand your food starts moving outside of your digestive system.
Of course.
That is what we see.
You lose the goodness.
That's right. It's all going outside of places it's supposed to be. So these are the things that we've adapted for Geordie. But I think above all with Geordie is that we adapted the understanding that our thoughts and our feelings and beliefs actually take us in the direction we either want to go or don't want to go.
Yep.
So if we could say, all right, we want to be this family that we don't focus on illness. Let's find evidence of health in any situation, because I think that there always is. And the more that you focus on that, the more you make of that. And this is exactly what we talk about with epigenetics, is that our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs influence our health. And you've seen that time and time again. How many people have you come across that they're always sick and they're always tired?
Yes.
And they're always telling you that they're always sick and they're always tired.
Yes.
So our cells respond to that.
Of course.
We keep making more of that.
So it's whether you're a glass half empty or a glass half full person, essentially, isn't it?
And it's not always easy. And it wasn't always easy with Geordie. The decision to choose health became easy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think for him now, this for me is just awesome, because I can look at his genes and give his body exactly what he needs to support health, not treat sickness. It's like life-changing.
Look, I know a family who have two children that have CF, and I think it's just extraordinary the way you've approached it. And I think it's amazing that you can share that information with other people, because any genetic disorder with children is really, really tough on everybody, because it's about getting the right information to treat it properly, right?
Absolutely. One thing I didn't touch on is how our body detoxifies. I'm going to let Denise do that, because she does a really good job of explaining it probably better than I can.
Okay.
Then also thinking about, I guess, them living a little bit more of a clean lifestyle, if that's how you'd term it, but not being exposed to so many chemicals and toxins, because if the body isn't functioning as well as it could, compared to someone else, and you live in this day and age, sadly we can't avoid all chemicals and toxins, but just minimising those, then the body's not working so hard to detox, break things down. You know, good nutrition, I can't say enough about just good nutrition. You know, clean air, clean water, it makes a big difference.
I think that's 100% true and so interesting, because we all live in this bubble where we're trying to do the right thing for ourselves and our families. But sometimes to just hear the basics of clean air, clean water, good food, like that's basic, but it's simple and, yeah, that's the way that...
And achievable.
And achievable, exactly. Mm. But tell me, this whole talk about genes and environment and stuff, is this why some people can live to 100 and eat Mars bars and smoke and drink 10 bottles of Coke a day, and other people can't, have to, you know, cut out bread from their diet?
Well, yeah, Denise says this next.
And there are some that can get away with it a little more than others.
And why is that?
And that is because genetically they are blessed, or there's more to it than just the nutrition. Perhaps they manage stress really well. Perhaps they sleep really well. You know, they've got other things that are going on that means they can tolerate a bit of crappy food every now and again, because their body isn't under the other stresses that someone else has. And in saying that too, some people might say to you, well, I've made all the dietary changes. I've done, you know, what you've said, and I'm not feeling better. But then look at their lifestyle. Are they constantly stressed out? Are they not sleeping? Things like that. Have they got gut issues? They're not even absorbing their nutrients. So that's a lot of other testing we do, looking at gut health, which is just critical. And I know that's really important in the Chinese medicine world as well. So it's good that mainstream science is really catching up, in a sense, to the beliefs that and the understanding that you have, because I would say the last 10 years of conferences I've been to, sort of mainstream medical conferences, really do talk about the microbiome and the importance of the bacteria in the gut. We're learning so much. So that has an influence on how well you absorb your nutrients and hormones and all sorts of things like that.
Wow. Okay. So what I've learnt here from Denise is to be kind to my genes. I need to work on my gut health. That's cool. I need to have fresh air and good water and a nice place to live with not too many chemicals and stuff, and give away my children so I can get some sleep. Okay?
Well, at least
just for a little while.
Yeah, until they're like five. Even then, there was four in the bed last night. But, you know, the reason I got Denise in was because her story is actually quite phenomenal, and we've only really touched the tip of the iceberg with what we've shared here today.
Absolutely.
We are sharing her story as part of the Wellness Collective membership radio show, which you can access through the membership. She is a hilarious woman. Some of the things she's done.
I know, and her poor husband, he's been used as a guinea pig, which she shared. I love it.
You know, I used to do all that fun stuff.
Oh, I
used to ask the man to, you know, we just need you to donate a bit of this and that. And hopefully my husband's not listening because I won't say his name, but you could imagine I had a lab when I met my husband, what he went through, the amount of testing. I'm like, I just need a bit of this because I'm setting up a new experiment.
She's hysterical.
Well, she gets funnier and funnier. And look, there are some bits that are quite sad and serious as part of her story that I want a lot of people to be able to hear, because I know that people will relate to her journey.
And well, it's about fertility. It's about thyroid. It's about being a scientist and looking for answers in other places. She really has a lot to share, and it is fascinating. Do you know what? I'm actually learning quite a lot hanging out with you.
Good.
Oh, is that good? Yeah, it's probably good.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, all of this information, all of Denise's story will be available as of the 1st of July in the membership area. You know what I'm going to let you do?
What?
Go and get some sleep.
Oh, have you got some special Nat remedies for just feeling pooey in winter?
Yes, it's called rest.
Okay.
Go internal, chill out. Like, you know, we fight illness in winter. We fight it so hard. It's a given. It's a part of our immune system's getting a boost, getting ready for what's ahead. Don't fight it.
Oh, but what's the answer when there's no time to do all that stuff?
Make time.
Just wait till your kids are 7.
Or 27.
Or something like that.
Oh, dear. Well, that wraps another show for us, Cecilia.
Oh, it's been really fun, and we will be back soon. Look, I've got so many notes in my little notebook here. The podcast's going to be coming out of everywhere when we get into the studio. So I'll see you soon.
You will. Thanks, everyone.